On this week's episode of the Touch Arcade Show, we discuss some great games that got updated to iOS 11, how much money Supercell made last year, Florence, Death Squared, and more. Stick with us.
I know a magical place we could go, so close your eyes and make a wish for the skies with the angriest, flappiest birds and the seas with ridiculous fish. The Touch Arcade Show is here again. It's Friday night and I'm with my friends Eli, Jared, and Mike most of the time. Come on, let's go to the Touch Arcade Show.
Hey guys, what's up? You're listening to the Touch Arcade Show's episode number 342, recording on February 16th, 2018 at 4:56 p.m. Central Daylight Time?
I don't know.
Daylight Time. I always, that's one of those things, like, I always say Central Standard Time, and then, like, half the year someone pops up and is like, ah, it's Daylight Time, you dummy. And it's like, all right, yeah, I'm good.
You just need good to knock all that off anyway.
Good on you, bro. Yeah, well, no, you know, like, so this week, I've been doing a lot of, I've been trying to get all our GDC stuff situated, and for some dumbass reason, I thought it would be fun to entertain the idea of doing sponsors at the party so we can have, like, drink tickets and things like that, which, you know, is one of those things, that, like, you know, someone reached out offering to sponsor a little bit of the party, and I was like, oh, all right, that sounds cool, we can do this. Reach out to the Marriott. Marriott's like, yeah, it's way more expensive than that to do anything with us. So I was like, all right, well, let me see if I can drum up some more money, since people won't buy bad ads on the site, but they'll spend thousands of dollars buying drinks for people, I guess. Yeah, that's been my week, is pitching the value proposition of figuring out how to get the rest of the money to hold the stupid party that, like, I don't even know why I'm doing this when,
yeah,
people just coming to drink is...
Our GDC parties have always been on the casual side, where it's like, hey, meet up with us in this lobby. Anyone is welcome. A couple years we did provide drinks and stuff, but that just ended up attracting a crowd we didn't really like.
Yeah, so this time it was going to be the Marriott thing, still low-key, but we'll have our own kind of, like, dedicated area. Like, they're going to, like, slice off, like, half the bar just for us, and then we'll have drink tickets for, like, enough for, like, everyone to get, like, one or two beers that show up, unless very few people show up, in which case everyone gets a lot to drink, because there's
there's
a minimum where it's like you agree to, like, a $5,000 bar tab, whether or not you use it or not. So,
yeah. So if it's just you and me, we're going to have, we'll get there.
Yeah.
We'll meet that minimum.
I'll have a medic crew on standby to just constantly pump my stomach so I can just keep drinking.
It's funny though, because, like, the couple years we did do, like, a hosted drinks thing, you just get people that come out of the woodwork that just hear there's, like, a party with free drinks, and a lot of people didn't even know what Touch Arcade was.
Yeah, it was.
They're
annoying.
Like, yeah, we're here for the Touch Arcade party. Where's my wristband?
That was, like, back when we used to make money.
Yeah, I remember.
But anyway, this podcast is about more than lamenting about GDC plans. If this is the first time you've listened to this show, I am Eli, and with me is Jared, and between the two of us, we've got about 20 years of experience covering mobile games. We run TouchArcade.com, which is really the best place to go for all your portable gaming needs. We're even kind of covering Switch stuff now, so if you're into that kind of stuff, check it out. We've got a couple other places on the internet which you should you'll probably enjoy if you're into Touch Arcade, which is our Twitch channel at twitch.tv/TouchArcade and our Discord at discord.gg/TouchArcade, which is a great place to go if you want to post links to pirated shit, get banned, and then get very angry that you got banned for that. If you're looking for a place to do that, our Discord is a premier location for that. Anyway, Touch Arcade, this podcast, the website, forums, everything we do is primarily supported by Patreon, which you can find at patreon.com/TouchArcade. And if you back us on Patreon, you can see me doing things like giving the chef's kiss. Or wait, no. Right? I don't know how you
sure
do it. on video. while we go through the games and stuff that we play. And it's cool. If you're not into the Patreon thing, but you still want us to keep on kicking, it does a lot if you do your Amazon shopping through toucharcade.com/Amazon. Just click our links. We get affiliate credit for all the stuff you were just going to buy anyway. We appreciate iTunes reviews. And if you want to send us an email, it's podcast@toucharcade.com, or you just hit us up on Twitter or leave a comment on the site or do whatever you want, really.
I don't know. I am a recent Amazon Prime subscriber.
Really? How did that work out?
Well, I don't know. I just was like buying something and it was like, hey, do the trial and get the free 2-day shipping. And I'm like, that's cool. And so I did it. And then I was like, had to order a couple other things. And I was like, man, sure, I'm glad I had this free shipping. I'm going to just buy so much stuff in the next 30 days and get free shipping. And then I was just like, I don't know. It's $100 a year. It's not too crazy.
I feel like the benefit outweighs the cost. Listen, dude, you don't need to rationalize Amazon Prime. It's probably the best money I spend in a year, honestly.
But it sucks because it's a whole rabbit hole of like, well, now I can just buy any little dumb thing instead of like saving up some stuff and ordering one thing a month.
I don't understand.
I just buy anything whenever I have the impulse to.
You've worked from home for how many years now? Like 6?
I never ordered shit off.
Never had Amazon Prime?
Oh, I barely even ordered things on Amazon before. I don't do that stuff. I go to stores and buy things.
We shop at Costco. Anything we can't get at Costco, that's perishable, we usually just get from Walmart, you know, like milk or things like that. Well, I guess we get milk at Costco, but, you know, I don't know. Like stuff that you don't want to buy in bulk, but
yeah.
It's bad. And then everything else we just get from Amazon. Like if I had a credit card that only worked in those three places, I would 98% be fine.
Yeah, so it's cool, but so I'm enjoying being an Amazon person and joining the present day where people buy things online. And but so now I make a point of clicking through our Amazon link when I buy stuff on Amazon, and I'm like, I don't really know why I'm doing this. Like, I'm basically just giving myself a sliver of my own money. But I figured, I don't know, why not? It would just go to Amazon otherwise, right?
Yeah.
And same thing with, like, I subscribe to our Twitch now through, because you get a free one with Amazon Prime, and
those
I'm like,
greedy Amazon fuckers. Jeff Bezos, how dare you?
It just feels kind of silly, because whatever. But I don't know, why not, I guess.
Here's a hot Amazon tip for you, since you're a noob.
Okay. Sure.
Next time you're at the store and you're going to buy something, load up the Amazon app, and you can actually scan the UPC code on it. And a lot of, not always, but a lot of the time the Amazon stuff will be a little bit cheaper. And then you can just order it right then and there.
Oh.
Screw you, brick
and mortar. No wonder stores are going out of business.
Yeah. Well, it's stupid too, because like I've been to, although I guess Best Buy does price match now, but like a few years ago or whatever, before they added that policy, I'd be in Best Buy and be like, dude, I can push this button and have this thing at my house tomorrow for $25 less. Like, can you do anything? No.
Yeah. Okay. Then all see right. Ya.
I'm ordering it. You can watch me order it. I'll see ya. So I don't know. But anyway, as we said, this is a podcast about iOS games, believe it or not. Probably the, I don't know if I would say the biggest news of the week, but definitely one of the big things. Oh, this, or did this come out last week? The PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds in China.
I think they actually came out this week, yeah.
So not super sure if or when this will be released in the United States, but it is a shockingly competent version of PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds.
You should probably mention that PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds is also called PUBG, and we've come to learn that almost nobody calls it PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds ever.
I wouldn't
even be surprised if people that are super into PUBG don't understand what that stands for.
Even know what it stands for? That would be insane. Because we posted the reason I'm bringing this up is because Carter posted a really good article about how to download PUBG for iPhone and Android. Because right now it's only available in China, so you need to jump through, it's not insane, but you know, a few hoops that will take you a little bit of time to just get going to get download the game. And the game is all in Chinese, but if you've played PUBG on your PC or really any of the battle royale games like Rules of Survival or anything else, like you'll quickly be able to figure out what to do. But yeah, I don't know. I'm curious if this is ever going to come to other regions.
Yeah, I think it will.
I don't know, like the it's weird, but yeah, as you were saying, like, so whenever we post one of these guides, I usually try to like do some research on how to title it, because your title is, you know, what shows up on Google and stuff. So when Carter was about to publish this, I was like, see if you can cheat PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds somehow into the title, because like, I don't know, that seems important. And so he looked it up on Google Trends, and never ever have I seen a graph like this. So usually, you know, when we're really trying to like figure out how to title something for best search results, you know, you'll type in like, I don't even know like a good example, but like, you know, like Pokemon Go raid tips versus Pokemon Go raid guide or something like that, you know. And you'll see like, I don't know what the, you know, the data is on that specific example, but typically it'll be like, there'll be two lines and they'll be kind of close to each other, but one will be a little bit higher, and that's usually the one we go with. But like, usually if you have like an idea for a headline and, you know, it's just a little bit different, like it's usually not that huge of a deal between the one or the other. But this one, it was like PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds was flat. It was a like,
A
you
flat
had to
line.
zoom in so much to see like any activity on it, whereas PUBG was just like a rocket ship going to the moon.
Kind of crazy.
So yeah, I always call it PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds. I don't know.
Always call it PUBG.
I guess I'm an idiot. So other fun news this week to do with games that are just making an absurd amount of money. Supercell announced that they made $2 billion in 2017. And believe it or not, that's less than they made in 2016, where they made 2.3 billion. And what's kind of fascinating about this particular stat is that Supercell did not release a new game in 2017. That's $2 billion on their existing franchises alone.
Was their last new game was what, Clash Royale in 2016? That's weird. And they have Brawl Stars in the pipeline. It's been soft launched forever, but it hasn't actually released.
Yeah, I really wonder if that's not really going to come out, because
I don't know.
it's been in soft launch too long,
Yeah, it
I
feels like
think.
it.
It's one of those things, like, it wouldn't surprise me if, like, in Supercell, if they are having like conversations where it's like, all right, this game's making no money, but there's a lot of people in Canada playing it, so we don't want to just like pull it off. Let's see. Sorry, I'm reading test. 4:30 Pacific time is what Central time? That's 6:30.
Six
Okay.
thirty.
All right. I'm still good. Anyway, totally lost my train of thought. Oh yeah, Supercell's making tons of money. It's really kind of crazy. So like, if you're curious why free to play is a thing and why everyone's still knocking off Clash Royale and Heyday and Clash of Clans, this right here is your answer you've been looking for. Maybe not looking for, but it's an answer. So there's that. And more fun news, Blizzard has announced the Hearthstone Wild Open 2018 tournament. I think the registration goes through the February 18th, so you have through this weekend to sign up for it if you're interested in playing. So Wild is the card format of Hearthstone that includes all cards in the cards pool instead of just like the most recent
Whoa,
stuff.
that is wild.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Like, these are, even if you don't really care about playing in this kind of thing, like, they're fun to watch, because when you, like, so when a card game like this, the whole reason you do card rotation is because it's very difficult to get have the game balanced with, you know, 5, 6 years worth of cards, or however long Hearthstone's been out, right? So you narrow that focus and are like, all right, well, let's just really balance like three sets of cards together so nothing's too broken with all this, right? But when you expand that scope out, it's like crazy ass combos that will just blow your mind, and all sorts of other silly things like that. So if you're even vaguely interested in Hearthstone, let's see, the regional playoffs are on March 7th in the US, the 9th in Asia, and March 1st in Europe. I don't know why I didn't order those in chronological order, but there you go. All three of those events will be streamed. And then on March 31st, the actual finals are being streamed, and that'll be take place in California. So it'll be all on, you know, American time zones to be easy to watch. So I would definitely put in the 31st on your calendar. just to check it out, because like I don't know, these are really fun to watch, I think, because like the kind of shenanigans that can take place when you have access to every single card in the game to put in your deck is sometimes really amusing. So see what happens with that. Biggest news story of the week as far as like social traffic was concerned, which really kind of surprised me, was Ghost Trick Phantom Detective got updated to add iOS 11 and iPhone 10 support.
Yeah, I hadn't fired this up since this update came out, but I believe the iPhone 10 support is subpar.
Yeah, it's
just black borders or whatever. But the game didn't work right. It wasn't a 32-bit app, but I don't believe it worked right on iOS 11. So I don't know. It's good to see it get brought back to life.
It was one of those games that was just like chronically broken for a really, really long time.
Which is so surprising because it's Capcom and that never happens to their games.
Definitely. Capcom is not a company that releases half-assed mobile games. I don't know who you've been talking to, but that is not true. I don't know. Like, I know Ghost Trick's a really good game, but it's kind of surprised me that so many people have been freaking out over this.
Yeah, this story was passed around all over the place, and apparently it's not on Android. That's another thing we heard a lot about, was everyone was like, oh, you're going to update it for iPhone people. You can't even put it on Android. Capcom.
More jerks. Like Crapcom.
Ooh, burn.
I just came up with that.
Good.
I don't know. Ghost Trick's a great game. It's about, I don't even know how do you describe this game. He plays like a little ghost dude that like solves puzzles. I don't know.
That's fair.
It's a really weird
I'm sold
game.
Off after that.
It's just a really odd, unique game that basically everyone seems to like. I think you get like the first little section of the game for free, right?
Yeah, you can just download for free and play it and see if you like it and buy the rest of the chapters or whatever. So
yeah,
check it out.
I think you get the first or a couple of chapters, which effectively serve as like the tutorial. So it like walks you through like what the game's all about. And if you like that, you can unlock the rest of it. So really very cool game. I played through it on the DS or 3DS. What did it come out on?
Original DS, I believe.
Original DS, yeah. I don't know. So long ago, I hardly remember it, so I can probably play it again and actually enjoy it. So, the Battle of Polytopia has been like this. I don't know. You think it's fair to call this a cult hit?
Yeah, it's kind of a like a Civ Lite that's built specifically for mobile. Really good touch controls and stuff. And it came out. It used to be called Super Tribes when it came out like 2 or 3 years ago, and was super popular. Same
that.
Game as Super Tribes. And they had some sort of copyright problem with the Super Tribes name, and so they renamed it Battle of Polytopia, which I feel like that only happened a few months after they came out. I feel like it was really poor timing to have to change the name of your game after it just comes out and change it to something radically different like that and stuff.
Well, you know, Tribes is like a classic PC game.
Yeah, I don't know if it was specifically... They didn't comment on who it was, but it had to be something along those lines. But I don't know. To their credit, they endured and they kept updating the game over and over and building up a really good fan base of people that just like turn-based strategy games that feel perfect on mobile. But about the only thing it was missing was online multiplayer, and that's been requested for ever since it came out. And so they've been plugging away at it for a couple of years and finally have released online multiplayer. And so we put together a little forum thread where you can share your codes, and people are sharing codes in the comments of this story and on Twitter, and it seems like there's a lot of interest in people playing each other online in Battle Polytopia, so that's really cool.
Yeah, it's cool when developers implement this code system and it actually takes off. It's a very easy way to share all your stuff, because I still think that Game Center is really clunky, where it's like, oh, add me on Game Center. I don't even
you can, anymore. Like, ever since they removed Game Center, it's like, oh, what's your iMessage or your email so I can send you a friend? Like, nobody does that stuff anymore. They need to bring Game Center back, or
just get rid of it completely or
whatever. Something.
It's so weird to me that Game Center is still the way it is.
When they took it away, I was like, it's because they're planning a big revamp or something like that. They can't just take away, their main sort of online component to
and
gaming.
That was in what, like 2006?
It was a while ago, and it's never came back. It's never really been fixed since. It's totally absurd to me, but whatever.
Yeah.
Apple.
So this might be a little bit out there for people, but GameVice, which is that controller that I don't know, like pulls apart, and you slide your phone or iPad or whatever in between, it kind of clamps down and kind of makes like a, almost like Switch like form factor.
Yeah.
They just launched a bundle which includes Minecraft for $89.95.
Is that good? I feel like I guess. That seems high. How much is a Game Vice by itself? Is that the same price? So you're just getting Minecraft for free, or?
Let's see.
Because the Game Vice seems okay. It's like it's definitely the most okayish MFI controller. And
I thought that it was a deal. Like so, that Game Vice itself is $79.95.
Minecraft's like $7.
Or you can buy iPhone Minecraft bundled edition for $89.95. What the fuck?
Why? Well, it has like, to come with something.
I thought this was like a deal.
Does it come with a case? Protective case
protective
and free
case
download.
And free
Minecraft.
Download of Minecraft. Yeah, but
so
the
case,
case
is. I mean, I don't know. That's not a bad idea. You need a case for those things. They're a little.
All right, so you get a case.
Empty.
You get a case and
geez, all their bundles are $80.
This thing's expensive.
Yeah. I mean, it's really the most, if you want something that holds your actual phone, it's probably the best option.
Yeah. It still makes me nervous though, because like how many controllers that have done this have come and gone because they changed the iPhone form factor. Like I think it's kind of a miracle that it's worked as long as it has throughout.
Yeah.
All these different iterations.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Does it just one device for the Plus models and the regular models and everything?
Yeah.
That's not bad.
So, I don't know. I guess if you want to, I guess it comes down to how much you value the case. As to whether
I feel like
deal,
people,
right?
Minecraft is so bananas that like people will buy this specifically for the case, even if they already have a Game Vice and the game.
Well, what I was wondering, like, is there anyone out there that's like, oh shit, I don't have Minecraft yet. Like, this is a great bundle.
I wouldn't think so, but I don't know.
Yeah, who knows? So, huge news this week. Rocket League is coming to iOS.
Yeah.
Except not in the form you're thinking of. So, it's like
I should
like
have worked that into the title.
Yeah, I don't know why you didn't.
Should have tricked everyone.
Last time we did that, people got so mad. It was hilarious.
Yeah.
So, basically, do you know if this is the same company behind like Aki Drive or any of those other ones? Or
it doesn't appear to be. It's Hot Wheels, which is Mattel, is who is making the thing. What it is, it's the Rocket League RC cars, real life physical RC cars.
Yeah.
And they're going to come with a big play mat that you can unfold that looks like the Rocket League arena. And then there's a little ball that has some sort of infrared capabilities or something so that the game will know when it gets knocked into the goal and it'll make noises and keep track of scores and stuff like that, which is all good. I'm sure in practice it will not work anywhere near as well as you think it should.
It seems so stupid to me. Like, I mean, like, don't get me wrong. I think it's a cool thing that someone made, right? But like $180 for this setup. Like
that's so when I read about this, I was like, oh, that's cool. I just want the cars. Like, can I just buy one car and drive it with my phone? Like, that's all I really want. And no, you got to buy all the stuff that comes with it, and it's $180. So I'm like, well, I'm not going to get that now.
Yeah, I feel like you could, well, I don't know. I guess a Switch in the game would be like another $150, but like.
You're still better off.
Yeah, I don't. It's hard to imagine who this is really going to appeal to, because I feel like if you're really into Rocket League, like you're just going to play Rocket League, right? On your
PC. I don't know. I they're showing it off at the New York Toy Fair this weekend, so I'm interested to see it in action, because you can't really get an idea of how big the cars are or how big the playset is or anything. And maybe, I don't know, maybe it works fine and it actually, you can play like an actual game of soccer or whatever. But my feelings is like this: some games are better left as video games because they break the boundaries of reality. And I feel like when you try to bring that into reality, it's not going to work out as well as you think it should.
Well, right. I mean, like, the cool thing about Rocket League is like playing on a team of people and like flipping in the air and blowing up cars and all sorts of stuff, not like some weird remote control car that you're just ramming into a ball and hoping it
Yeah,
makes it
I
into
don't
the
see this
goal.
being actually fun. I don't think so. I don't know. I just want the car. Just give me the car I can drive.
It might be super fun though. You don't
It
know.
might be. Maybe it'll be a new phenomenon.
Yeah, well, whatever. let's talk about some games that came out this week, shall we?
Yes.
Let's get into I'm gonna need to prime the pump for the video podcast, but
We
let's
gotta figure that out, man.
it's a Unity thing. I don't know why. But
So this is, it looked like you were going for Death Squared, is
yeah,
that
so
correct?
let's talk about this.
Yeah, this was SMG Studios' first console game, and they are the people who made, well, back in the day, they made Over the Top Tower Defense, which is still a really good tower defense game. And then they made a bunch of games called, they called the One More series, but it was like One More Line, One More Bounce, One More Jump, one more something else, I don't know. But they're kind of like these sort of simple arcadey sort of games that all kind of had a similar sort of visual style and kind of just an overall feel, I guess. And they all fit really well together, and they're all very good games. And so we like SMG stuff. And then last year they decided to make their first console game, which is Death Squared. And
Well, I feel
I
like
always thought it was
we should do
interesting.
console in air quotes.
Console, quote unquote console, and it was always funny because we'd see them at the same conferences we go to every year and stuff like that, and they weren't peddling mobile stuff, they were peddling Death Squared, their console game, and I always thought it was just weird, like, oh, you don't have any mobile stuff to show us, huh? You know, like they had jumped ship, but I always kind of felt like this was going to end up coming to mobile anyway, because why wouldn't it? So what it is it's sort of a block moving puzzle game, and it's meant as a co-op experience, although you can play by yourself. And on the iOS version, you can play two players on one phone, which sounds wacky, but it actually works out pretty well because you both just need a thumb. So a little virtual stick will move each block around the screen. And yeah, pretty much you just want to get, it's one of those games where you want to get one block on one goal and then the other block on the other goal, and that ends the level. But the kind of gimmick of this game is that there's like traps everywhere. And so one movement will send up spikes on the other person's side of the screen and blow them up or stab them
Am
and
I supposed
destroy
to be
them.
playing this with another person, or is it a single player game?
You can play single player. You can control each box with one thumb.
Am I playing
And
single player right now, or is this supposed to be multiplayer?
no, you are. Yeah, I believe it's all the same thing. It's just whether or not somebody else grabs the other side of your device. So it works totally fine as a single player game. There's nothing wrong with that at all. But
Oh,
like
I
as
see
you can
what's
see, like
happening.
yeah, the more one square moves, the more it messes with the other square's side of the screen. And so you both have to kind of be on your, you know, paying attention to what's going on, and you'll often have to move in tandem. And so playing single player can be kind of one of those tricky, you know, left brain, right brain sort of things. And playing two player is especially fun because you got to, like, you know, constantly communicate about what's happening and where to move and what not to do. And you find out a lot of ways, you find out the hard way when you're not supposed to do something because you'll die. But it's a super fun game. It's really well made. It's not. It's you know, 3D cubes moving on, you know, grid-based levels or whatever, but you don't move in like a rigid pattern, square by square. You can actually move freely, and that actually comes into play later in the game with some of the more physics-based movement stuff. But it's a really interesting game, really clever and fiendish level designs. So yeah, I wouldn't worry if you don't have anyone to play with. Because it works super fine as a single player game, but I think it probably shines the best when you are playing right next to somebody and you're both trying to work together to get through the levels, because you're going to constantly be screwing each other over.
Yeah, it seems,
and it's
kinda
just good for a laugh.
Kind of weird to even like pitch this as a single player game, when it seems like you should be, like, when I'm playing this, it feels like when you're playing a two player game on like the Nintendo, and it's like you're playing with one controller and then playing with the other controller to move the other character.
It
up
is
kind of
like that. It's still fun though.
Yeah, no, this is a cool game. I really like the SMG guys a lot. They make cool stuff.
They the console versions are up to four players, so you could probably imagine when you get four cubes in the mix how crazy stuff can be, and then that's like some serious couch co-op fun. And it was a big hit on the Switch, where you can, you know, pop the controllers off and, you know, have four players huddled around the screen or whatever you want to do. Definitely a good local multiplayer game or couch co-op game. But it translates really well to iPhone too. Controls fine with touch, and they had to cut out some of the levels that are four player only stuff, but there's still like 50 levels, I think. I don't know. I feel like there's quite a few levels still, even if you play single player. So
yeah, when they set their stuff up at, you know, like PAX and things like that, they have these desk squared cubes that they've got as like blow up things.
They do.
Which is
it's been those cubes have been all over the world.
Yeah, they really have. Like it's kind of crazy. So yeah, this game costs $7, I want to say, right?
Something like that. $7, over 80 levels. Wow, that's a lot. And then 10 vault levels, which are like the super duper hard, you're probably going to throw your phone, difficult levels. And then the game also is has a story, which is kind of absurd but cool, and it's fully voiced. And so that's kind of neat too. So if you think you could play a game with one, with you holding one end of your phone and someone else holding the other end of the phone, and that would be a fun time, then you should try this for sure. But even if you're not into that sort of thing, I still think it's worth checking out for single play.
Yeah, no, this is cool. Definitely give it a look. So the big game that I played this week is Florence by Mountains, and published by Annapurna and stuff like that. So Mountains, if you're not familiar, Ken Wong and his crew have a resume about 6 miles long. I don't know. I'm kind of pleasantly surprised by the reaction to this game, because it's always tricky when you have a developer that has a long list of cool things that they've done, mm-hmm. right? Because people, I feel like, are always disappointed in some way, particularly when they work on something that, you know, is just in the works forever.
Mm-hmm.
Because like they've been like dark for, I don't even know, like over a year, I think, what they've been working on, right?
So.
More or less.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, Ken was, he was like art director or something. I don't remember was his position, but he did something very important in Monument Valley, like game director or I don't remember the title. You know, so I feel like a lot of people were like, oh, this is going to be the next Monument Valley kind of thing. And instead, you know, I don't know, you know, people are always going to be pissed regardless of whatever gets released. But
sure.
What we got was this game that I think is like closer to like an evolution of a like graphic novel, kind of comic book sort of thing.
Yeah.
And it's really kind of neat because there's very, very, very little text in the game. But you constantly are like figuring out what you're supposed to do. So like you wake up in the morning, you brush your teeth by playing this like silly little mini game. And now I'm like on the subway or bus or whatever going to work, and
mm-hmm.
kind of like mindlessly just like either retweeting or favoriting photos and stuff like that as like part of the actions that you need to do to keep the game going.
Yeah.
And it's just really like, I don't know, like you go through a curve when you play this game where like you download it and you're like, this is it. Like I'm mm-hmm. like matching numbers on a grid. Like mm-hmm. this is kind of stupid.
Yeah.
And then as you kind of get into it more, it's like, oh no, like I get it. Like this is like actually doing a surprisingly good job of like, kind of like emulating the grind of just day-to-day life when you're you know like a 20 something adult just going to work every day and doing the same thing every day and all this stuff. And I don't want to play too much more of it on the video version because the game's really only like a half hour long.
Yeah, it's short.
Like it's a good way to think of it, I think. If and we've seen like all sorts of insane like value arguments and stuff like that with this game, but I think a good way to look at it is like, you'd probably spend at least $3 if you're going to get a comic book or something like that, right? And you'd probably blow through a comic book in a half hour. And this is like just a really, really cool game-ish kind of iteration on that, I guess.
Yeah, I think it's cool because it's story and characters are the forefront, and then kind of the gamey stuff is sort of built in to sort of supplement that and build the characters and build the world and kind of make you feel things that the story wants you to feel, as opposed to, well, I have this really cool game idea for a game you play, and I'm going to put some story stuff on it too to make it interesting. I feel like there's a definite, difference between those two things. And this is somebody, I mean, this story I think you could have told in a comic book or, some other way. But when you tell it like a game like this on a touchscreen, and you take advantage of the little things that allow you to kind of bring it to life. I don't know. I think it's really cool. And I think it's sort of a shame when people think like, oh, I spent $5 on this thing, it should have 20 hours of whatever, or you know what I
Where's
mean?
the multiplayer in Florence, you jerks?
Yeah. Well, it's sort of like the, you can buy a BMW for the price of five Kias, but they're not comparable. They're sort of apples and oranges. And I think games are sort of the same way. Like, okay, certain games that are built around gameplay, maybe you want a certain amount of hours for the price or whatever. But certain games that are built to be experiences, I think, shouldn't matter how long they are. It should matter, how they make you feel when you play them. And so, 30 minutes or 10 hours or whatever it may be, if it's good story and fun and poignant and, makes you feel something, I think that's worth more than any sort of money you could even think of. So I don't know, but you see that the only negative reaction I've seen in this game has been in terms of the length of it, which surprises me because I haven't seen anybody be like, oh, this is artsy fartsy, there's barely any gameplay, blah blah blah, which you see a lot of that sort of stuff when games like these sort of narrative games come out. And I
It
haven't
is
seen too much.
artsy-fartsy. I mean, that is
It
an
is artsy.
accurate way to
Yeah, I
describe the
like artsy
game.
farts. I don't care. But I don't know. I was happy to see that most people were very well received the game. The only thing people seem to be mad about, maybe, and maybe even mad is not the right word, but was just sort of the length of it. But I don't know. I've blown $30 on taking someone to a movie that sucked. Or, there's so many different things you can look at where it's like, what is this game? Like $5, I think. So even if
It's
it's just.
three, I think.
Okay, yeah, $3 for 30 minutes. I mean, I don't know. That's a not a bad value for price in terms of a lot of different things. And you can always point at stuff that's like, oh, well, I bought this 99-cent Kemco RPG that I put 100 hours into, even though it was like the same grinding over and over and over. And it's like, well, that game is not as special as this. Sorry. But if you're looking for that, I mean, load up on 99-cent cheeseburgers. I don't care. But sometimes you want the $15 super good burger.
I don't even think you can get a 99-cent cheeseburger anymore.
Dude, I don't think so either.
Yeah, I don't know. But yeah, you should.
Back in the day when they had 39-cent cheeseburgers,
Oh man,
just go by the limit of 20 and just see how many we could eat.
I was thinking the other day, for whatever reason, I got the Taco Bell jingle of the 59, 79, 99 stuck in my head.
Remember that.
And I was like,
That
damn,
sucks.
tacos used to be 59 cents. It must have been, those are the good old days.
The old.
So yeah, I don't know. If you're into I would say experience games, kind of like Gone Home and That Dragon Cancer and other games that fit inside of that kind of shoebox, I guess, you will love Florence as well.
I love the art of this game too, and like the characters and stuff. Like it's just fun to watch in
Yeah.
action.
But if you're the kind of person that's like you play Gone Home and you're like, where's the guns? Where's the
It's more
multiplayer?
people you.
WTF? You're really not gonna like this game and you should spend your $3 on or $2 or however much it costs on, I don't know, a cheeseburger.
Free free game idea, Gone Home with Guns. How good would that
Yeah, you can just shoot your way through the house's mysteries.
be?
But yeah, so that's two good games this week, depending on what end of the gamer spectrum you're on. Or get them both. They're both good games. But let's cut this podcast short a little bit. It's getting very late in the for me, and I got stuff to do.
Yeah,
So
I know you do. All right.
today was kind of a crazy day. So sorry for doing this one short. GDC insanity is starting to catch up with me, and I really want to get everything situated so I don't need to worry about so much. We're taking the train out, which is gonna be cool. We're going to Train Jam, both of us. It's gonna be neat.
That'll be
Definitely
interesting.
talk Jared into that. I think you'll have a good time. Train Jam's
Yeah,
really cool.
we'll see.
So anyway, thanks a ton for listening to this week's episode of the podcast. Sorry we're cutting it a little short. I'm just like running on fumes at this point. We are supported by Patreon at patreon.com/TouchArcade. If you're not into Patreon, we would love it if you do your Amazon shopping through TouchArcade.com/Amazon. We've got Twitch at twitch.tv/TouchArcade, and Discord at discord.gg/TouchArcade. And if you like the show, please leave us an iTunes review or tell a friend or whatever. If you want to send us an email for any reason, it's podcast@toucharcade.com. Otherwise, we will catch you next week, right? There's nothing going on.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything going on for
Yeah,
once.
so I'll try to plan my week better so I'm not running on empty by Friday evening. So, but anyway, thanks a ton for listening. We'll catch you next week. See you around.